Hello and welcome to another episode of Sky Blue Stories as we review an Australia Day Big Blue times two. Two games, two goals, 2 points, two horrendous and erroneous decisions that have led to outrage, disharmony and utter contempt in the case of the A-League women's competition as a whole. All in all, it wasn't too bad, but by the time any remaining Captain Cook statues around the country hit the ground and football hooligans were probably blamed, it could have been a lot better. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, it's Michelle Morris, Sean Maloney and Jonathan Finger here to wrap up, as we said, everything Big Blue and look ahead to the weekend against Western United and the Glory. Hello, Michelle and Sean.
Hello.
Erroneous. I like that word. Yeah, I'm going to try and use that tomorrow.
Thank you. I must be watching Three Musketeers lately or something. Yes. I don't know. Do you know what I have been watching on a completely unfootball-related note? Boy Swallows Universe?
Oh, everyone at work's talking about that.
It just makes me cry. Like, I don't want to watch something that just makes me cry. It's sad.
I've been watching something equally sad.
Yeah, what's that?
And I'm a little bit disappointed that we're recording now because I'm missing it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the A-League women's refereeing performance.
No, Married at First Sight, new season.
Oh, God.
My dad's favourite show.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Michelle,
I'll have a watch party with your dad. Let's go.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
You, Rose, and my dad.
Oh, Gogglebox. Here we come.
What a trio. Dear.
Michelle, are you crying over A-League women's refereeing performances?
Oh, every day.
Every day? Not isolated.
I swear it's like every week there's something that makes me angry.
Look, you know, obviously we're biased. Our listeners are biased. But we are fucking copping it this year.
Yeah.
We are copping it. But even last year, was it last year that Nat Tobin copped those two ridiculous red cards? Or was it the season before?
Yeah,
there was that last one. Wanderers at Marconi. I think that was when she got the sending off.
She got
two yellows in that game.
That's right.
But the first one was like, I don't think that's yellow. I think the second one was yellow because it was like hand out, handball in the box, which like fair enough. But then like the first one was like,
never happened.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a yellow. And then
she tickled her sleeve or something.
Yeah. And then it was the one against Western United that she got sent off. And that was like, the referee just, the play continued and then she stops the game like in the middle of play. Oh, it's so dumb. So dumb.
How do we fix it? You're in charge, Michelle.
That's a good question. I'll tell you what, Michelle, we'll give you about 20 minutes to think about it because we'll talk about it a bit more when we're wrapping the dub game. But it's hard. It's hard. And I think I very emotionally tweeted out that it is making it harder to watch because you invest so much into it and then you just get absolute crap like that. Let's put a pin in that and do on, because there's a lot going on and a lot has happened this week in Sky Blue Land. So Sean, you might want to kick us off with
everyone's
grounds,
because it's been a very, very sad week for a legend of Sydney FC to retire after making such a massive impact and legacy at our club. And then there's Milos Ninkovic as well.
Who also retired.
Yeah.
Who's that?
That guy.
You talk about Luka Vanovic? Because I think he's leaving Glory.
So. Is he? That's tears. Yeah. Is he, which A-League club is
no,
he?
Who?
Is he going to Al Nassr as well?
Finland, apparently. Finland.
Oh,
you are, of course, talking about...
Oh, Adrian Mizejewski.
Well said.
Did I get it right?
Close enough.
Closer than you've ever gotten before.
But I like his tweet. Short and sweet, concise, to the point, little to no emotion, and a goodbye football, game over, done. Just like mic drop, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, he's achieved everything he's wanted to achieve in the game, and he'll be very fondly remembered.
I thought he might have another contract in him, but yeah, obviously couldn't find one that...
How old is he now?
Met his demands. Oh, he must be 38.
Oh, have a run at Sydney Olympia, come back to NPL or something.
I think Adrian likes the money.
Rovers.
I think that's part of the reason he didn't have a second season in the A League is that he enjoys money.
Money is good.
Money is good, but hey, he's, you know, when you're as good as he is, and when you had as good a season as he did, then yeah, I'd be asking for it too. He's 37, Sean. So
spring chicken. He's a spring your chicken. Age, Jono.
A good age. It's a good age. To yeah. Be. It's not kids. 37's horrible. I yeah, don't it's recommend.
All downhill after 30. Oh,
seriously, poor Michelle doesn't know yet, but it's coming.
It's coming.
Any favorite Adrian moments?
I just like the
too many.
The celebration.
Celebration.
Unreal.
And the fact that he scored in like all the important games, like against Victory, Wanderers, multiple times, like. Yeah, what a player. I don't think there's a single Sydney FC fan that has a negative thing to say about him. And to be honest, not really a single neutral fan that hasn't said, you know, how much he destroyed the league in 17-18. And we don't talk about the one thing that he didn't win that year, but he absolutely dominated. And, you know, from whether it was a free kick, whether it was ghosting into the box, whether it was putting assists on the absolute plate for you know, for Bobo and that other guy that used to play for us, yeah, just a wonderful wonderful player. And yeah, would have been awesome to see him make a little cameo again in Sky Blue. We were hoping for it, but didn't come around.
A little bit of a shame how it ended. It was a little bit sour at the end.
Yeah, I think we'd signed him for 2 years. Is that right? From memory, I haven't gone back to look, but I thought we'd signed him for an extra year. But, you know, he obviously performed the way he did and made some very public comments about, you know, a promise is a promise or something like that. And you know, asked for a transfer from Arnie. So it's almost like, I think the situation was, you know, I think it was around the time that Bobo was going to leave as well. And head off to back to Turkey, was it?
Turkey, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Adrian had been promised either marquee wages or a significant increase, and for whatever reason it didn't come, and he got pretty pissed off with that. So yeah, we'll never know. Like Mark Yanko leaving, we'll never know.
Well, on the other side, we've had some signing news. Young Sydney FC centre-half Hayden Matthews, who we got to see a glimpse of at the Jets game in the very back end of the game, that 4-0 victory the other week at Allianz, has signed his first professional contract, seeing the young fella remain in Sky Blue to the end of the 26-27 season at pushing a lot taller than you and I all combined, maybe not much Jono, but... a very strong centre half, has played, a Sydney FC fan, has played in the academy at every age, at every level, working his way up into the first team and getting his debut off the bench a couple of weeks ago. So very good to have Hayden on our books, and we are keen to see what he can do in years to come. With the likes of Rodwell still out, with the, you know. Broken leg, Gerd really not kind of firing as well before that injury happened. You know, Gabriel, will he stay or will he go at the end of the season? So a little bit of a revolving door of sorts with our centre halves in recent seasons.
Mish, do we think the fact that there's a bit of transfer rumours going around today, but do we think the fact that we actually went ahead and signed him to a professional contract means that we're probably not bringing in a defender in this window?
Probably. I don't think... I honestly don't know how much money we've got left to spend as well. I think, you know, clearly they're trying to... Well, maybe not clearly.
Space.
I think it feels like they're, you know, this is a bit of cost cutting, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think we will see a big turnaround in the winter, after the season, but I think for now, I don't really see much coming through or in or out. So
yeah,
I think this is probably what we've got.
it could be that they were trying to find a like an injury replacement signing, you know, which tend to be a little bit more affordable and in the cap, and it doesn't necessarily add another head to your roster sort of thing. But you know, maybe that hasn't been possible in the time. I think the A-League transfer window is open for another 6 days. I think so. We'll see about that to February 6th, I should say, for those listening later. But Sean, there was another little piece of rumor from our friends at All Sides of the Harbour today as well.
Marco. Look, personally, I don't reckon he'll come. I'd like to see him, absolutely, but that rumor, personally, I just don't think it will come to fruition.
Yeah, it was interesting to see from Jamie there, because I would love to, and I'll probably ask him, to be honest, where the updates come from. Did Uffie say after the Big Blue that he was sort of working on something in the background? That might have sparked some interest with some people. But, yeah, so what Jamie said on asoth.com, at asoth.com, Sydney's still looking at potential deals this transfer window, the issue being squad and cap space, which is sort of what Michelle was just alluding to there. They'd need to let a player go in order to bring someone in. Recent injuries have made it harder to do that. Definite interest in Tilio, though. So it's that's interesting to hear that interest is there.
Well, where would you put Tilio in the team when you've got Mac on the right, Lolly on the left, Fab, Woody up
and
front.
Mac's back already.
Yeah, Burjo's back.
I think initially they were looking at Mac being out for another 3 or 4 weeks, and they were probably thinking, oh, maybe it's worth getting another attacker in.
We need a centre back. That's the position in the field that we need the most.
Mm. Well, I mean, yeah, we've got plenty of them, but they're all broken.
And look, Jakey's done a very, very admirable job at centre back.
Yes.
I think going forward, we need a bit more of a long-term permanent somebody there to take that spot.
Mm. Yep.
Anyways.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. That's it. That's a short and sweet around the ground.
Yeah. Thought there was lots going on.
Well, in terms of referee blunders, there are.
Well, yeah, and we'll cover those right now, because we'll review. Where are we going first, Sean? We're going to the ladies first?
Yeah, age before beauty. So we'll go.
What does that mean?
Well, they kicked off at 5 o'clock, so we'll start in chronological order.
It has nothing to do with age.
They are a younger team, if that counts.
That's true. Yeah, they would be.
That's what I mean. Exactly. The girls played down in Melbourne, Australia Day, of course, against the Victory with a very blood-boiling, teeth-grinding one-all draw against a very shit, mediocre Victory. But I guess the only shining light, I will say, Maddie Casper's got on the score sheet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the only shining light was around the 43rd minute.
Oh,
on the production.
Super fan. They're at the fence down at the bottom there.
That's right. Michelle, just give us
getting
give
a
us
shout
that,
out.
Just give us that dance again, Michelle. So. Give us that dance.
Oh no. You know what the worst part is? Is that I was like, oh, I wonder if Leah Blaney is on comms again. And like, because you could see us so clearly, I was like, oh, this is either going to be hilarious or it's actually going to be so bad. I'm glad it was funny.
You're our cringy friend.
Yeah. Well, it was funny.
It was good. And now it's forever in GIF form.
Yeah, yes.
So at least you were having a good time. But kind Sean of. Mentioned Sean mentioned blood boiling. I mentioned erroneous. Sean mentioned Maddie's goal, which was a lovely follow-up goal, wasn't it? And we couldn't help ourselves but say ghosting in. But that's exactly what she did. She still had a bit of work to do to put it in the net there. Courtney did well to...
Nice touch to, and, you know, cut in and run by Cord. And then there was one of the defenders, you know, tried to make a little bit of a lunge and tackle for it and very conveniently push it into the path of Maddie. But if you look at the replay, she does this like little kind of, I don't know, drop of the shoulder, like a little you know, shimmy of sorts just to put the defenders, you know, going the wrong way, and then she slots it past the keeper. So she still had a bit of work to do, and a very subtle bit of movement from her in the box just to kind of throw the other defenders, off their feet. So very lovely work from the 16-year-old.
We're trying not to get too excited, Michelle, aren't we, about young Maddie? 16 years old, I think, you know, six professional games now, whatever it is. But it's calmness in those situations and maturity to finish that way, I think, that is getting people a bit excited. You know, you've got fully blown professionals that probably have close to 100 games under their belts that would completely snatch at a shot like that still, and not just calm the nerves and calm the adrenaline and know exactly what she needs to do to not only beat the defender but beat the keeper.
Yeah, I remember one of the boys, one of the young boys in the Cove, was telling me how he played on the same team as her when it was like North Shore Mariners, now North Shore mm-hmm. Bulls or whatever it is. And basically it was a boys' team, right? So she was playing on the boys' team quite young, like the U14s, 15s, and I think 17s as well. Mm-hmm. And he basically was like, you couldn't have a starting 11 without her. Like, she was unreal. And he was like, and I'm not just saying that because she plays for Sydney FC. She was actually better than everyone on that team. You know, she's so young. She can only get better from here. And I do think it's, you know, it is funny, like, that her and her sister are both scoring goals nonstop. Mm. Like, obviously, one plays for a someone team in else. Blue, and the other one is, we all know.
It's nice that they're giving Holly some game time in preparation for her transfer to Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next year, but that
the
is
the only
nice
thing I'll say is that, you know, if she, Holly needs to stay on side for her goals. but clearly Maddie, hers aren't controversial.
But this is the Chaos League, and you know, we love it. Do we?
Too much controversy in these games.
Speaking of controversy, Shawnee.
Oh, that was just fucked.
way to put it perfectly.
You're so pro. I love it. Like, this is 5 or 6 days later, and we're just, like, still throwing our heads.
I've looked at the replay. Disbelief. Highlights and all that, and I'm like, Jada only had eyes for the ball. She takes 3-4 steps out, trying to, you know, catch it right in the bread basket, and the victory player runs in and collides with her and drops to the ground. Jada wasn't, you know, any flailing limbs, no elbows.
There was no claim for a penalty.
No, and it's just, I know football is technically not a contact sport in the same sense of your leagues and your unions and NFLs, but it is a contact sport and bodies do collide. And when bodies collide doesn't mean it's an instance of foul play.
Once again, the referee was in a wonderful position.
Perfect position, yeah.
And the assistant referee, who's, 20, 30 metres further away, has only a side on view. So what has she seen? Has she thought that Jada, in going to punch the ball, has, you know, deliberately gone to try and punch the victory player or something? Like, because, you know, she does that so often. Usually it's to her own teammates, to be fair.
Absolute lack of confidence.
But what is the report from the assistant ref there that's a straight red card in a goalkeeping challenge, for fuck's sake? It should have been a free kick to Sydney.
Not a red, just penalty.
Just a penalty, sorry. Penalty, thank you. I was getting upset.
I think we're lucky it wasn't a red.
But
considering
if anything, it was a free kick to Jada.
Yeah. Well, so Jada's already in the movement of punching the ball away and has already made contact with the ball going away. And then the player has run into her fist. Yes. Like, Jada's got nowhere to go. She can't move anywhere. Like, she can't just, like, stop, disappear, and then come back. Like, It's not really how the world works. Also, Jada had a black eye by the end, like at the end of the game. Yeah, I saw Jada after the game, and she's the one who ended up with a black eye. So, you know, it is the frustrating thing is that the center ref had already said no penalty. Like she's already waved it away until the assistant referee has then been like, nah, actually, I think Jada has fouled the victory player.
Yeah.
And it's like,
who does the linesman go for? Find out.
What state are they honestly, from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Victoria.
Terrible. But
the keeper, Jada, has every right. It's their box, their 6-yard box, to go for the ball.
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, what does that say to other goalkeepers? Like, you can't jump up in the air now. You can't make a play for the ball.
It's one of those, and I'll compare it to another sport like Sean was about to, right? Rugby league. It's one of those ones. I remember watching a Souths game years ago and Sam Burgess got penalized, but none of the commentators could figure out why. And they're like, oh, well, he clearly just tackled them too hard. Like, and that's what this was. It was like, oh, the contact was too hard, so it's a penalty. Like, it's just insane. It's just insane.
Then the penalty comes. There's Rachel Lowe.
I was going to ask you about her.
Oh, man. I was so mad. I was so mad. Because, like, I'd been telling people, nah. Like, you know,
she it's Rachel Lowe. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, she wanted a change, and that's fair. I get it. But she's cool, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, then she goes and celebrates like that, pats the badge, like, bruh, you won a championship and how many premierships with us? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to win with this Melbourne Victory side? You'll be lucky to make the finals.
I almost said something, but I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, man, I was...
Nothing. She'll win nothing.
I was yelling. I was so mad. I don't know if I should repeat what I said at the game on this podcast, but it probably wasn't very nice. I did bark every time that she touched the ball.
That's not very nice.
Yeah. It was funny. It was quiet in the stadium. Imagine just hearing some random person barking.
Are you referring to her as a dog?
How do you say that in Spanish?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you know what? And I don't like talking about footballers' personal lives, but her partner is also a dog.
True.
And left in similar circumstances. So, there's form there.
Well, anyways, it was a very frustrating game. And, it was...
Rachel Lowe, you are not invited to... any premiership and championship reunions going forward. Thank you. We did have a golden opportunity or two in the second half as well. Very frustrating chance for Abby Lemon. The ball just got a little bit stuck and the victory defender came across and, to be fair, made a decent challenge.
Should have put that on target, eh?
Abby off, yeah. I just wanted to quickly mention, though, you know, we joke on here a little bit, but and look, none of these people are going to listen to this podcast, but some of the vitriol posted under Sydney FC Women's Instagrams at the moment is absolutely vile, and it's all coming from the Middle East, and you know, this continent where people are gambling on these games, and obviously, you know, Sydney are one of the most well-recognized and famous brands in the world. And so a lot of people are obviously putting money on them, and, you know, we're not winning as many games or scoring as many goals, but some of the comments need to be absolutely moderated a lot better and a lot faster, because it's fucking gross. Like, a lot of the comments there. So just a bit of a shout out to the league there. Like I said, none of these pricks are going to be listening to this podcast, but so especially the ones targeting individuals. So, but anyway,
I think they've deleted a few comments, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because most of them, all the comments I'm seeing now, on at least on the Instagram, is just, you know, about the referee decision.
Yeah, okay.
Even in other languages.
I'll disable comments on Spotify.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then that wasn't the only chance we had to get the 3 points with the match winner from midweek.
Yeah, Zara. She went within a bee's dick. Into a nice little header as Courtney Newbon was kind of moving the other way. Nice header pushing the other way. Hits a post, bit of a clank, unlucky. But, you know, we're all over them like a cheap soup, Jonathan.
We were. That cheap French onion soup.
Yeah. Could have, should have won. Maybe a little bit guilty of not being clinical enough in front of goals. Their pen maybe should have been a consolation of sorts. But, yeah, it's frustrating. Frustrating. Another draw.
I think the positives are the performance. I think there was a few more opportunities, like you said, and Michelle, one of the star girls, Courtney Vine, it seems to be getting better and better, you know, getting these more minutes that she's been missing. So I think we actually, you know, despite the result, we looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think overall we were a much better team than Melbourne. Mm. I think anyone with eyes could see that. I think we were so unlucky. And this is the problem that we've been having all season, is just not scoring and not being able to hit the back of the net and not getting anything on target.
But we haven't been creating many chances. And the last couple of games, I feel like we're doing that now.
Yeah, definitely. But it's like, how many chances do we need?
Yeah.
Until we get too many, you know, still. Like it. We should have won that game, you know, with or without the referee's help, you know, and I think that's what's starting to really get frustrating for me at the moment, is like, we should be winning these games. We outplay all these teams and we just cannot find that, you know, that last little bit, just that missing part to get the goal at the end. And like, with absolutely no disrespect to Maddie Caspers, we shouldn't be relying on on a midfielder to be scoring all of our goals. We've got Princess, who's playing in the number nine role, which is fine. I like seeing Princess Abeni as a striker.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Princess Abeni as a striker who
You said last week you actually liked seeing Indy in the front line there as well.
Yeah, it was, and you know, it looked like Ante clearly listened, because he kept the same lineup.
I wouldn't mind maybe this coming weekend. I think Abby's done enough to potentially start. And maybe a lemon princess, Courtney front three.
I'm a big fan. I'm just not sure, because the impact that she's having off the bench is so good. And yeah, you know, every player wants to start, I think, but yeah, it'd be interesting, Sean. I agree. I'd love to see a start. I think Ante loves her versatility as well, to be able to bring her on where he thinks, you know, he needs her best at the time.
And I'm still looking to see a bit more from Princess. Like, there was, if you remember, before Maddie got the first goal or the goal, so very early, you know, before the eighth minute, the ball came out to her. She's outside the 18-yard box. There's, I don't know, at least 5 meters of space between her and the defender. And what does she do? Tries to lob the keeper or try and shoot. Where's the confidence to take on the player, to take on the defenders, try and get inside the 18-yard box, you know, to take a shot, or, you know, just kind of hold the ball up a little bit for your Courtney's and the like to come flying in, or, you know, Maddie to kind of wrap around you a bit. And she did that a little bit later in the game, sometime in the second half as well, kind of turning and shooting rather than looking to take on the player. So, yeah, if I'm a defender, I'm like, yeah, sure, shoot from outside the 18-yard box. Don't take me on. Great, all day. So, yeah. But let's start Abby next week.
Okay, big call. Big call from Sean.
Doesn't hurt to try.
I like it.
Doesn't it?
I like it. Very good. Yeah. We sit third, do we not?
Yeah.
With the draw.
Yeah. With the draw. A few results went our way this week.
City lost, didn't they? Yes. Yeah.
City lost. Yes. Perth lost. Perth lost to Adelaide, who were last, I think, or second last before that win. So, yeah, a couple of results. Wanderers lost, which is always nice.
Always.
And
they looked like old Wanderers again.
That's so good to hear. I'm so glad. Let's hope they continue that form and their downward trajectory. But, yeah, we see all our games are made up, so no games in hand. There's only 8 games to go. I think. Is that right, Michelle?
Oh, my God.
14 gone, 22 games? Yeah, so it must be 8 to go. Which
I didn't realize it's gone by that quick.
Yeah, and we've had so many games. They've had so many games lately. But, yeah, they've caught them up. And, you know, 8's not too many. And I think, like the men, I think they only leave the state another couple of times in those 8 games. So could be a nice run home for the girls. But I digress. Let's move on and talk about the later game, which was the A-League men's result. A 1-1 draw from Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory, obviously.
The ref said, you know, call that a howler. This is a howler. Hold my finger, let me fuck it up.
I think you're right. I think this is actually worse than the penalty decision. I think. I hadn't thought to compare them.
I don't know. I think they're both bad in different ways.
Well, stupid. They are bad, and you're right, because the Jada one wasn't anything, but they found something. At least Woody's was something. But anyway, let's start with the positives. Jordan Courtney Perkins started his second game in a row at left back for the injured Joel King. And I'll ruin the surprise for everyone. He's going to get a lot of SFCU votes from me, and that's not for the goal. That's for his general gameplay. But he did score the goal.
Messy.
Mish, where was your... Down the other end, sadly, from you guys on the night. But yeah. I reckon that would have made a few people happy around you on the night.
I didn't even see who scored. I didn't realise who scored until... like maybe an hour after the game had finished. I had no clue.
Pandemonium.
And then when I found out who it was, I was like,
how?
No, who actually scored?
Was that a deflection?
I was like, what happened here?
Very good. Sean, talk us through the goal. Bit of a set piece, it seemed.
Mercy. It was, yeah, a little bit of an AC's corner. Brat's first time volley deflects into the path of JCP, and a nice little left foot shot past the keeper. You know, Johnny on the spot, still a little bit of work to do, nice reflexes, agile, and slots it away. And 2 weeks in a row, he had a very good game the week before. He had an even better game this week. When he's more typically, for the early roos, he's more of a centre back, isn't he? As opposed,
yeah. So, I mean, our understanding was he was signed as a centre back to cover left back. But he hasn't played too many minutes there for us just yet. I think he came on as a late sub, one or two games maybe, went into centre back. You know, I think a lot of people have been pretty quick to judge, and I'm glad that he stepped up. Yeah, sorry.
I was one of them.
Yeah, so was I.
And I think a lot of people were.
Yeah, a lot of people were. But I think, the last two games he's been exceptional. And again, the real positive thing to come out of this is, you know, his teammates' reaction to the goal. And then even online, you see him, you know, him post or whatever it is. And I loved I love Joe Lolly actually left a comment under one of the fans, you know, who is Jordan Courtney Perkins? You know, to the blind, he is vision. Joe Lolly actually commented. He's like, I agree with absolutely everything in this statement. I thought that was great. So it's good to see his teammates, obviously, you know, getting behind him and supporting him. Maybe with the knowledge that, you know, life in Sky Blue didn't start perfectly for him Maybe even knowing, you know, from a fan reception point of view, it didn't start too well. So yeah, big raps or big ups for JCP the last couple of games. And as you said, Sean, first to react and banged it in for 1-0. Sadly, it didn't last too long, our lead.
We went a little bit back and forth. Jordan had another chance not long later on with Izzo pushing it wide. But let's fast forward to the 35th minute when all hell, you know, the ref fucked up basically and Woody got sent off. Everyone was left in disbelief. And I bet there'd be many Victory supporters, as scummy as many of them are, they would even admit the ref got it wrong. Like,
most.
Like, basically, he's. It was the Traore, wasn't it? It was more behind him. It was behind him. Woody had eyes for the ball, has every right. It was just coincidence, accident that both feet went for the ball at the same time, and Woody was a fraction to the ball more than Traore's and collected his foot. But there's no ill intent, there's no malice, there's no, you know, foul play.
As a lot of people have said, a yellow would have been harsh.
I remember like watching the VAR sort of replay thing happen on the screen. And I was like,
what are they checking?
No, they're checking for the Victory player. Like, it's definitely not for Paddy Wood, because Traore's leg was higher than Patrick Wood. So I was like, okay, so he's obviously going down into Paddy Wood's leg. Mm. And then when I saw that it was like they had the close up on Paddy Wood, I was like, wait a second. This is wrong. This is all wrong. So yeah, it was very frustrating for everyone who was there.
And again, like the assistant referee in the women's game, re-refereeing the fucking game.
Yeah.
Which is not what it's supposed to do. Like, the bloke saw it. He moved on. He made his decision. Mm. The fact that Traore stayed down, they went and looked at it. Like, everything's been said, but...
But just, the amount of people that came out on Twitter, X, whatever, from all your Simon Hills and Adam Peacocks and the like to Sam Kerr, also.
Sam Kerr.
When the GOAT goes to the effort to tweet.
Yeah.
And she doesn't tweet often.
That's right. That's right.
I think we can claim that.
Just like we claim her as our own.
But we've got it. We asked for it to get reviewed.
Yeah.
And they dismissed it. They threw it out.
I didn't think it would get overturned, because on what basis? Obvious error. Well, they're not going to come out and say that both the referee and the VAR made a mistake, are they?
Well, they
did in the women's, though, didn't they? Mm.
They did come out and say that the referee got the decision wrong.
Decision wrong
about the goal. So
no VAR in that case. No VAR.
Replay the game.
Yeah, true. Maybe that's what it was. No VAR.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know what else to say. But do you know what? I had to watch the game on delay, and I can't remember where I was.
Parenting. But
I think I was parenting. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
pesky parenting. So I was watching a bit on delay, and I can't remember what I was going to say now. Oh, I was checking live score to make sure I stayed up to date with the score, because I wanted to make sure as I was out. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, it's the 80th minute. It's still 1-1. Like, you know, they'll score here. They'll score here. They'll score here. And then I was outside the house and my phone died. And it was the 89th minute. And so I didn't know what was going on, but I was very happy that it was 1-1 when my phone died. And so as a result, on the weekend, I went to JB Hi-Fi and I spent $80 on a portable battery pack. But anyway,
I told you to get one for your Canada trip.
You did. I ended up borrowing one from a mate because I'm a tight ass. Cause he lives.
I've got heaps if you want one.
Borrow from me something.
I just bought one. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good. I just came back from New Zealand tonight, as you know, and I didn't use it once over there. So anyway, I'm sure I'll get use out of it.
Sure,
but my the point of that ludicrous personal story was that we held on, guys. We held on for a 1-1. And we even had a couple of chances along the way.
That was a bittersweet result. You know, we can talk about the horrendous refereeing decision, and that ruined a really good competitive game between two teams. But how resilient the character. You saw ABJ come out on Twitter and just, you know, wax lyrical about how wonderful a performance it was. Maybe it was, I dare say, maybe our best performance to date, you know, putting aside the week before 4-0 and the 5-1 against Adelaide and Uffie's first game. The lads were absolutely fantastic. And maybe this is the start, or not the start, but this is the continuation of Talay band ball, of Uffie ball, and something to look forward to in the coming weeks with that character and resilience shown by the team. And look, you know, we can beat Melbourne Victory, the, you know, inverted commas, best team in the league at the moment. They're really nothing special, really, are they? Like, they're mortal.
No, they're so beatable. And not having Fornaroli, who was on the hottest streak, you know, in A-League history before he left, probably hurts them. I do think if they had a Bruno in this game, maybe, you know, it would have swayed in their favour a bit more after the Woody send-off. But, yeah, 100%, Sean, agree with everything you said. Not sure what the mood was like in the Cove, Michelle, but, you know, I'm sure they would have been ecstatic that we went down there and, you know, again, backs against the wall, everyone against us, and we walk away with a point.
It's been up and down, I think. People were mostly happy that, you know, it was just 1-1. We can take a point from the game. But I think everyone else was also like, we wanted to give them their first loss of the season. And it felt like that, you know, for ages it was like, yeah, there was this feeling, you know, going into this game. It was like, yeah, we're going to win this. Then, you know, that red card decision happens and instead we're defending for the next 45 minutes. And
both teams were going at it. Before the red card, I thought it was a really high quality game from both sides. And we were, if anything, I thought we were on top. I'm not sure what you guys thought, but I thought we were slightly on top.
Despite conceding, I thought we've got a goal in us. I think we could, I was still confident we could take this thing 2-1.
Yeah.
Of course, things change.
Yeah. Just going back to Baum Johan's tweet, for those that hadn't seen it, he's actually deleted one of them, which was his emotional response to the red card, where he said something like, you know, once again, we're shooting ourselves in the foot or something like that, which was aimed at the league, not, you know, not the players. But so his tweet read post-match, I could not be prouder of our players for today's performance, not only for the performance over the first 35 minutes where we saw the best football game of the current A-League season, but even more for the way we fought for over 60 minutes with one player less against a very good Melbourne Victory team. And that got a lot of love on the Twitter sphere as well. So, yeah. Yeah. Would have been good.
Very frustrating. But I'll say this as well. Like, I think a lot of people with the two games, right, like a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, it was really good that we got the draw in the men's game. And it's like, yes, I think you can, you know, see the point in the men's game as a positive, but then it's like when I look at the women's game, like I don't see that point as a positive. I think it's a bit more frustrating because, you know, I think our team played better. We had everything going for us, and just a very frustrating referee decision that, you know, because we don't have VAR, so it can't get reviewed. Like, you know, it's a very frustrating situation, and they're both 1-1 draws, but one of them just seems a bit more frustrating than the other one, despite one having a red card.
And also the form lines of the girls, you know, that's our fifth draw in 14 in 14 games.
Yeah.
Whereas the men's, it's the first draw.
Is that the first draw?
First draw the men have had. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
there's a stronger case for the women that it's 2 points lost rather than 1 point gained, whereas the reverse of that is more relevant for the men. Yeah, we could have got 3 points. But, you know, I said last week I'd be content with walking away from Melbourne in Melbourne with 1 point.
And then you watch the first 35 minutes and wonder what could have been if we'd kept going. But I think extremely frustrating. The Cove is starting a GoFundMe for Ufuk's fines, and Sky Blue Stories is starting a GoFundMe for Ante Juric's fines about the refereeing. So, we'll get onto that. But all in all, it could have been worse. Like I said in our intro, I think it could have been a worse trip to Melbourne from that front. Sean, we'll get you there one day. For an Australia Day game.
Just go find me for that therapy. I know
we say this every Big Blue in Melbourne, but we'll get you there one day.
Yeah.
I'm going to kidnap you.
Just keep me away from Crown Casino. That's where it went down.
Why would you want to go to Crown Casino in the first place?
I was 18. I was young.
He was young. He was young and stupid. Now he's just stupid.
Bright lights.
Yeah. SFCU votes.
I barely watched the game, so.
You were there.
I know, and that's the worst because you don't actually watch the game when you're at the game.
I'll be the sacrificial lamb. I'll go across the back line. Oh, can I give 7 votes?
No.
All right. I'll give 2 to Jordan and then 1 to each of the other back, so Buster, Lacerda, and Jake Girdwood Wright, because I thought they all at different times made really, really important interventions. Buster and Jake Girdwood Wright in particular, with some excellent stops and breakup of play. So and it was good to see Ryan actually trying to force the point and get forward as well, a little bit more than he probably has in other games. So really impressed with those, but the whole team, you know, again, we defended as one. It was great to see.
I've got 2 for Jordan, 2 for Bratz, and 2 for Jake.
Nice. Michelle, you hardly watched the game. Abstaining.
I will abstain.
Fair call. We move on to a new week, new hope. New dawn as Sydney FC men take on Western United for the second year in a row in Tasmania at North Hobart Oval, I believe, on Saturday, 5 p.m. kickoff. I would have loved to have popped down a bit of a day trip or an overnighter for this one. Unfortunately, I cannot.
Right next door to the Royal Botanic Gardens, and I can tell they're very nice.
Well, you see. Now we're just doing advertising for Tasmania.
Go to the Botanic Gardens and then wander on to Hobart Oval.
Tourism Tassie. Are you flying down for the day, Michelle?
No, there's a women's game.
Oh, on the same
Saturday night.
Day?
Jonathan, yeah.
Well, okay, I haven't got to that on the run sheet yet. Calm down. It would have been nice to have a bit more notice about Tasmania, though, but, you know, Western are a joke, so... That's fine, guys. This is a must win. I know a lot of A-League men's teams and coaches have sort of come out and said, you know, Western are a lot better than their position. I don't think they are. I think they're trash. I think everyone else is being nice about it because they all love Johnny A, but they're rubbish. Like.
Don't jinx Jonathan.
Well, I'm going to because we dropping my microphone. We should win, and we should win comfortably. So, if we don't, then that says more about us.
Our last time in Hobart was the Diamante.
Yes, it was.
Thingy me bob, wasn't it?
Oh, true.
That thing that happened. Yes.
Yeah.
Mamma mia. Yes. I haven't watched a lot. Look, I haven't watched a lot of them, but some of the results that they've been pulling out, and I saw the bench that they had on the weekend and brought onto the field. Nick and I exchanged a few messages about them on Griddle. But like, I had never heard of, I think, every one of their subs on the weekend. Like, so not only were they probably young, but, you know, I think there was probably three or four making their debut or their second appearance ever. So they've obviously got some squad concerns as well with injuries and whatnot. Or Johnny's just wielding the axe and saying, well, you guys aren't doing anything for me. But yeah, I think on the back of our first half and even the way we defended in the second half, I think we should go into this one pretty confident. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I'm thinking a win. I'm thinking a clean sheet too.
Ooh.
Oofed.
That's a big ask.
Yeah.
We've also only got one of them this season. one draw, one clean sheet. Yeah.
But I think Ulfie will go with the same starting 11. The only difference probably with Fabs.
Fabs Woody.
Starting. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Do you reckon, or do you reckon he'll start JK?
Why would he?
And bring Fabio off the bench?
Well, I don't know. No, I think Fabs will get a start. I think JK off the bench. I think maybe even Mac off the bench too. You know, just easing back his minutes into the game.
Yeah, he only got like 5 or 6 minutes, didn't he? Yeah.
Came on like 90 off minute or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Mish, I don't know. Who do you think Fabio will start? I only say Kacharski because I think he presses a bit more to the liking of Taliban ball. And Fabio's had a pretty good impact off the bench as well. Although even he, I thought even he did well when he came on the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say because I don't really think that that JK is like a proper striker.
You know,
he's maybe a bit more of a midfielder, more of a 10. So, yeah, I think if we want to have like an out-and-out striker, then you're probably going to start Fabio. But I would like to see JK start. I think he just
press the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Just suffocate them.
Yeah. I think he'll put a lot of pressure on them.
For a team that's under that much pressure already.
Yeah. I think he'll put a lot of pressure on them. And and I don't think Fabio puts pressure on the players as much because he doesn't really chase. So
he works hard. He's just not as agile, probably.
Yeah.
or quite as quick as Paddy Wood and JK can do. And Ulfie all but said that, I think, that, you know, Woody was sort of ahead because of the way that he does press. And that's what makes me think maybe he'll surprise us and put Kacharski on to start and bring Fabio on against them when they're absolutely knackered and down on confidence because we're already 2-0 up. And
unless you play JK in the midfield and put Coleman on the bench and then have AC and Bratz in the middle. But I guess that's a good headache for Ulfie to have with those options.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one to make. Anything else to add? Like I said, I don't want to shit-can Western too much, but, you know, they've won two. One of them was their opening day of the A-League, I think, and they've drawn one. So they're 5 points adrift of second last. They do have a game in hand, though.
They're due.
They are due. But I think we'll win pretty comfortably. I'm saying we'll score 3 goals. I don't know if we'll keep a clean sheet. I'll say 3-1. Say 3-1.
I'm saying 3-0. JCP hat trick.
Oh my God.
Saints. Do it. Do it.
A brace.
He nearly got a brace on the Friday.
Yeah.
Michelle?
I'm going to say 3-1.
Yeah. Okay. All the cool people said that.
I think, we've only kept one clean sheet this season. I would like another clean sheet. I think if we could get another clean sheet, it would be this game, but I'm not 100%.
I think Redders would like a few more clean sheets too, just quietly.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he might. So that is Saturday afternoon. So are you guys telling me that I can watch back-to-back Sydney FC games?
Well, one is at 5 and one is at 6. isn't it?
Oh, that's
Aren't you, aren't the girls playing at 7:45?
I thought it was at 6. I could be wrong.
Maybe I fucked up. That is very possible on the run sheet.
You never made a mistake in your
Seven.
life.
7 p.m.
Seven.
Okay.
So back to back.
Yeah, back to back. There you
It's
go.
back to back. That's awesome. Whilst parenting, of course. So 7 p.m. on Saturday night, Leichhardt Oval, the girls' new permanent home ground. I'm calling it.
Fortress.
I'm calling
The
it.
fortress.
Well,
A fortress.
not Fortress Sopac.
yeah. But against Perth Glory, so second versus third. Outstanding. What a game to get to. And the crowds have been absolutely rolling into Leichhardt Oval lately, rain, hail, or shine. And we've had at least two of those weather phenomenons in the last couple of weeks. So it's been fantastic to see the grandstand full and overflowing in some cases. So, Michelle, what can you tell us about the game on Saturday night?
Well, it's third versus fourth, I think.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah, we dropped.
Thank you.
Stupid Western United. What else to say? I think we're not long. I don't think we're too far away from seeing Shay Connors back and Lucy Johnson.
Okay.
I
If
think
not
we're
this
getting,
week.
and not this. I think maybe mid-Feb.
Yep.
I think we'll see them back. Which is good. So we're getting closer to having some more players back. I don't know. Perth's kind of been dropping in form recently. I think people have kind of seen the news about the club and the state of the club. I don't know how much of that plays into the form of Perth Glory and what that does to their training schedule, if it does anything to their schedule. But yeah, it's they started off really well and have kind of taken a back foot recently. So I think that's kind of a good sign for us.
To be fair, I've made a few mistakes tonight. I think I said Jada got a red card, and then I said that the table was wrong. But in real football land, we're actually second. It's just that stupid fucking
Yeah.
West. They've won more games than we have, so our for and against is better. But anyway, I
Yes.
digress. Just
Yeah.
defending my honor there. Sorry.
Yeah, but then the thing is, if we say that, then we also have to say that Melbourne Victory men would be first, right?
Ew, not
Oh no, they not
anymore. Not
anymore because they
anymore.
yes.
Not anymore because we drew with them again.
Yes. And
Yeah.
Wellington won their
Yes.
game. Yeah.
Go the up the nooks. Up the nooks.
Ah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, exactly what you said. Perth were on fire. Even Susan Fongsonkam was scoring goals, and that hadn't happened for a while. And is it Farlow? Farlow? No.
Millie Farrow.
Farrow, thank you. Millie Farrow. She's been in the goals lately. But I think again from watching Dub Zone and things, I think a lot of the people have been saying that they sort of started to rely on her a bit too much. And as you said, people have worked them out a bit. And have been able to nullify that threat. So Perth still don't tend to travel too well. And obviously they do the most travel of any club in the in the,
Motion
in the
sickness.
yeah, that's right. So I'm hoping on the back of a fairly strong, I want to say a fairly strong performance from our girls that we can get a win this week. It'd be great
Perth
to see
hasn't
Shay
won.
or Lucy on the bench.
They haven't won in four games or five. Their last game that they won was ages ago.
There you go. Yeah,
So,
you're right. Yeah, 5 games ago.
against Mariners was there on New Year's Eve was their last win. So.
Okay.
They'll definitely be pushing for one, and they do like playing in Sydney, it seems. So,
Yeah.
but we held them to a draw when we faced them last month. So,
Very
we're all
frustrating.
over them, weren't we?
Yeah, that was another frustrating game of unable to hit the back of the net.
It looking at the table, it could be quite a low scoring night. Both Sydney and Perth are very low in the goals for and very low in the goals against. Sydney's got the best defense by 4 goals, but Perth has the second best defence along with Central Coast. So Sydney FC women have conceded 11. Perth Glory and Central Coast have conceded 15. We have scored 16 goals, which is the least, equal least. And Perth Glory have only scored 18 goals. So when you look at teams like City and Western, who are both up to top, even Melbourne Victory and Canberra United, who I heard you guys talk about last week, you know, they're all up in the 20s in terms of goals. So.
Hilarious. They're second for most goals scored, but they're last.
Yeah. and they have the two leading goal scorers in the competition.
Yeah, true.
And they're last.
And who and the Vesna. Other one? Oh, Vesna, of course.
Vesna. And oh, they're so last.
Oh. Wow. So how do you do that?
And we couldn't even beat them. We drew, didn't we? Did we draw with them at Leichhardt, Michelle? I think we might have.
Yes.
I think it was a nil all. I could be wrong, wasn't it?
Might have been a 2-2. I think Michelle Heyman decided to, or might have 1-1. Did Michelle we? Heyman scored.
Did Aideen score on that first? Score the first goal.
Might have been 1-1. I know Heyman scored to level it up.
It was 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
Did Aideen get the goal?
Was that the game Aideen scored, Michelle? You could be right, Sean. I think you're right.
I think it was. Yes.
Yeah, that was another very frustrating night. But we digress. I don't think we'll see a change. I would like to see and Ante's done it in the past with players, just manage the load on you know, a youngster like Maddie Caspers. She's playing so well, it's very hard not to play her, but it'd be interesting to see if she continues to play 90 week in, week out for the rest of the season. But yeah, I don't really see a need to change the lineup. I think the girls did a pretty good job, and hopefully that combination up top now is has been set for a while, and they keep the same lineup. I'm gonna say I think we'll win this, and I think we'll score at least a couple of goals. I'm gonna say 2-0. I'm gonna say clean sheet 2-0.
Copycat. No, I'm thinking 2-0 as well.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 1-0.
You're thinking 1? Yeah. It's got 1-0 all over it.
Yeah.
Or 0-0, but let's go nuts. Let's score 2 goals, girls. Go nuts. Go crazy.
Someone score 2 goals.
Don't leave it to Maddie, maybe. Don't leave it to teenagers, Princess and Courtney. Come on, guys.
Come on, girls.
That's it. But look, I hope you're right about Shay and Lucy. Because it'll just be nice to have a bit more competition in there. A bit more depth on the bench as well. Whilst the girls have done well, you know, both of those players create a bit of quality. And, you know, we've seen Fiona Virt still in a very, very heavy leg brace. And it's highly unlikely we see her again this season. So, unfortunate. So, we've predicted 2 wins. That'd be nice. That'd be very nice. So, we'll see whether we can do that or not. Soon we'll be talking about NPL again, guys.
It's on the horizon, about a month away.
Yeah. I think the squad should be announced soon. I think there might even be a trial game going on this week for them. I'm not 100% certain, but we'll find out and we'll report back. But yeah, NPL will be back very soon. Our Women's Academy, I'm not sure if you guys mentioned it last week on the pod, but the Women's Academy played their first sort of 90-minute game.
Koalas.
Sorry?
It was against Koalas, wasn't it?
It was, yes. It was. It was good to see the Koalas all out at Allianz as well last week. Uh-huh. At the game.
They're all out supporting.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Girls Academy, who have been present at a lot of the A-League Women's games, got together and played 90 minutes and got the win. So good work.
Minutes in the legs.
Before we sign off tonight, I was so impressed with Michelle's efforts last week with who's that Sydney FC player that I thought I'd try and get a little bit of a comeback for you, Michelle. I'll ask Sean, who's that Sydney FC player?
Bring it.
Dun, 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 dun. No? Do we have a song for that? I don't think we do. Sean
Who's
promised
that Pokemon?
Me. Yeah, Sean promised me one.
Come on.
All right. do I need to reveal the gender? Probably. Probably do. All right. First.
Are they A-League women's or men's?
Men's. Men's. Okay. Men's for you. Men's for you. You told me to go easy on you, so.
Ryan Grant.
Alex Brosk. First professional team. Middlesbrough.
All right, yeah.
Does that narrow it down?
Possibly.
Possibly. Bristol City.
Keep going.
Okay. Michelle, any ideas?
I don't know.
Okay. FC Twent.
FC, say it again, Twent?
FC Twent.
At the T-W-E-N-T-E?
That's the one. Stop Googling. I can see your eyes on your phone. All right, this next one might give it away.
Sydney FC.
Dynamo, Moscow.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion.
I think you quite like this player, actually. I think
because he's a left back. Did play some time at left back, didn't he? Was in a left
yeah,
back?
Maybe every now and then. Maybe every now and then.
Socceroo, very good at taking pens.
Okay. I think you do.
He's not. Is he still coaching down?
Do you want to put it? Do you want to put it in the chat, and I'll keep going for the kids.
The initials.
Yeah,
chuck the also. Initials. Maybe he played this position a little bit too.
maybe, yes. You are spot on, young man. Well done. So after Dynamo Moscow, Feyenoord, Terek Grozny, who I'm assuming is a Russian side, went back to Dynamo Moscow, Sydney FC, and rounded out his career at the Wollongong Wolves. It is, of course, Michelle.
Luke Wilshere.
Well done. Yeah. Very good.
That was a good one.
Very good. And part of the reason Luke is in the news, the Luke Wilshere Football Academy opened last week down in Wollongong, where he now resides with his family. And the who's who of Australian football was there to help him launch that. So all the best to Luke and his academy.
Does he have any connection with an A-League club? Is he coaching or something? Did I see Central Coast or something brief? Oh, no, I'm thinking.
You might be right. He's obviously doing punditry.
Yeah.
He's doing punditry for Paramount and 10.
Very tattooed.
He is very tattooed. But yeah, fantastic season in Sky Blue. If you recall, he was signed because Ryan Grant did his ACL. In the off-season, I think it was, and was a part of that Adrian Mijajewski 2017-18 premiership-winning side. Scored in Australia Big Blue, I'm pretty sure, from memory as well. The back posts and tapped it in and did a, you know, I mean, you lose Ryan Grant, who just, you know, won us the grand final in 16-17, and then you replace him with, 100-time Socceroo or something. So it was a pretty good pickup from Arnie there to sign Luke Wilshere. Yeah, 80 appearances for the Socceroos. So pretty handy career. So well done, both getting that. Anything else from the lovely people?
I'm dabbing.
Oh my God.
I'm like, Usain Bolt signed for us? What? No other news. Wonderful. Michelle, make sure you keep that potty mouth, to a minimum.
Vitriol.
At the women's game, please.
Yeah. I don't want the people calling the club again.
Let's not talk about it, though. I don't want to upset you. but if you are going to a football match, just remember that it is a public space and... you know, there are adults there and they swear at football games. That's all I'll say. If you choose to be near or around it, that is your choice. Much like it is the people's choice to say those words. Anyway, let's not end on a sour note. What a wonderful podcast. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Sean. We'll be back next week, hopefully with 6 points in the bag, hopefully with no erroneous decisions from the referees in either league. And for everyone else, have a great week supporting the team. And yes, as we said, the men are away. So if you don't usually get to both games on a weekend, the women are the only home team this week. So make sure you get out to Leichhardt and support the girls. And we'll talk to you all again next week.